Beat to the Fire with the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Othoyanchik, is the technical production of IPS MediaWorks and aired on the Jancic Radio Network of Stations. The views expressed in the following show are of the host, the guest, and the callers, and not necessarily the views of Interstreams Radio, IPS MediaWorks, the Jancic Radio Network, nor its advertisers and affiliates. The content of the following show, its accuracy, authenticity, and the ramifications of the use or application of said content is the responsibility of those speaking and listening, not the broadcast medium. Before you start waving around that freedom of speech thing, and you're in a crowded movie theater and you scream fire, you better be able to smell smoke. If you come on this radio show and you start saying inconsiderate things like that, you better have more behind you, pal, than just your thumb. I've been listening to talk radio for years, and one thing I just can't stand is when the host has to, like, push his way on the people, beat the callers into his way of thinking, extending his ego, or when the callers call in and say something so outrageous and the host lets it go unchallenged. The sign you're on the road to truth is the lack of contradiction. You want to find truth, you just don't simply believe somebody because of their authority or their degree, or you listen to what they say, you test it against reality, and you hold their feet to the fire. Well, we're back and we are live. It is James Othoyanchik, Black Knight of Talk Radio. This is Feet to the Fire. Well, we got some, not good news, I guess. Depends on perspectives, I guess. For us here, at the moment, it's not good. I meant to mention this a couple weeks ago. A long-time listener and been in the chat room often. Zetas was his screen name. Dean was his real name. Passed to cancer a couple weeks ago. And so he is now living the paranormal, I guess. Moved on and is looking down or back or however you want to say it. Across. So he has moved on. And also Stephanie, who was the lady who had the lung transplant, she passed as well. She is very interesting and sad because her lung actually was getting better and growing, and it was misdiagnosed. She was put in a hospice, as I understand it, was preparing to die, and the people in the hospice weren't thinking that she was wanting to live versus having resigned to die. And she had some kind of lung infection, which one of the doctors figured out wasn't part of the dying process. And actually, her lung miraculously was actually better, was actually growing, which they were shaking their heads about. It was very odd that this would happen. And so they took her back into the hospital and worked on her, but the infection was, she was too weak, and the infection was strong. So she had passed. However, the people had mentioned that she had done a lot of spiritual growth and made peace and so forth in the last weeks of her life. So it's a happy thing. Unfortunately, wish she could have lived longer. But we have to allow for things to happen. I'm sure her family, much more than us, would wish to see her. But it was rather amazing how the lungs were growing. So They also have bad news with Paul Tantone. On June 8th, he went to his hearing. They had a hearing called the cell hearing about the state of Utah was maintaining that he needs to have forced psychotropic drug treatments, which is hysterical because it's like, how did he kill 30 people? No. But he did invent the Geet engine, and apparently that was good enough reason. And unfortunately, on the 8th, it was ruled that he should be forcibly treated. At the moment, the judge has not signed the order, putting it through, but, I guess that's an opening for something to happen. So if people would go to geetfriends.org, G-E-E-T, two E's, friends, geetfriends.org, you can read up about it and find out what you can do. One of the things they want to do is try to boycott Utah for having this type of an action. I know that Utah is a big energy state, and two of the major truck stops around the country, Pilot and Flying J, are from Utah, both of which I frequent. So I'm now going to switch over during the week to the hundreds of gallons of fuel I spend per week. I'm going to switch over to Love's, which is a Oklahoma-based system, and let those people know about it. Plus, my wireless internet is from Flying J, so I'm going to have to switch that as well. And I just don't want to support this whole thing. And I'll write letters to the people explaining them why. And it's just ridiculous. And I don't know. Will it do something? If enough people did, yeah. Will enough people hear about this and work on it? No, I guess probably not. But whatever that critical number is, we all should do what we can. And if you go to geetfriends.org, they've made it quite easy to contact people involved in Utah who may be interested, or I would tend to think that the higher you go up into the architecture of the government, the less they care. But when you get into the state level, maybe it's not high enough, and maybe there are people who do care. I don't know. You have a very complex situation, and it's unfortunate. So Paul Pantone could definitely use prayer, as well as perhaps anything you might do to let the people know there. The way, a money economy works is if you don't have anything to do with Utah and you say, well, I'm not coming to Utah, and they're going to go, well, so what? You're not going to come anyway. So I guess, most people will have limited direct effect, but whatever. Do as you feel moved to do. So that is the bad news for the day. Zeta and Stephanie, though, they are in a better place. So Paul is still here and in prison, and they're going to shoot him up with some drugs. Well, hopefully that won't happen. So that's a start off. Here's going to start off the thing. We have tonight, we have a few things going on. James McKinney comes for his monthly visit. Tonight we're going to talk about oceans and NASA admitting there were oceans on Mars, but kind of come up with a half-cocked story of where they went and when. And so James is going to talk about that. We have Dr. Rita Louise will be here at the bottom of the hour to do her a soul healer moment. Also, what we're going to do this week is she had an idea to lead the healing meditation. Because what she'll be talking about is how we, comparing the energy of 2006 and 2007, and how we can actually change that energy for 2007 for ourselves. We can actually make it better, or switch the course, I guess, maybe the more accurate way. And she wanted to know if she could do a meditation to help us all do that, which is like, sure, great. So she will be leading the healing meditation this week, and those people, I got a couple names came in the email, we'll put them in the healing hopper for next week. So at, bottom of the hour, healing, and at the top of the hour, Richard Sennett is going to be here. He's a writer for Fate Magazine. Fate Magazine, every month at this time, if somebody comes from the magazine, talks about what's coming up and about and around with, okay, a stack of things fall over, up and about and around Fate Magazine. So Richard Sennett will be here, the writer from their contributing writer. James McKinney is mentioned at the bottom. This Week in Free Energy with Sterling Allen. And Sterling has wrote a letter, sent me a copy that he wrote to the Utah area, being a Utah resident himself. At the top of the third hour, very interesting, we had Tammy Jo Kennedy was on a couple years ago. And I will get to her in a minute about what she did. But I had a listener who is in Holland who was on Skype and chatting with me mentioned about this technique of adjusting the cranium to the neck, opening a spiritual enlightenment, at least a course to it. And I said, you know, that sounds like Tammy Jo Kennedy. Her grandfather did that and taught her. And so I referred him to the show. He listened to the archives. Oh, you have to have her back on. It's excellent. So I said, well, I could check it out. I haven't talked to her in a couple of years, find out what's going on. So as synchronicity would have it, I get an email a couple of days later. She's going to be in Chicago for a health expo this coming Friday. And so I talked to her. She's going to be on for a segment at 9 Central, would be the third hour. And talk about it. And hopefully, the plan is I'm going to get down to this health expo on Friday and see her and get a adjustment. It's a controversial adjustment. It adjusts your neck and head. It's not that it's controversial like it's going to fall off. It's that it's not taught in these chiropractic colleges. And if you're not a chiropractor or a doctor, you can't go around twisting people's necks. And she has a bunch of other kind of alternative spiritual healing things. And so there's kind of this deal going on. And she's from Oklahoma, and Oklahoma has a court order about her doing that as well. So a lot of people in trouble with the law here. And now you know how people like Wilhelm Reich, and I forgot to keep forgetting the name for the color guy. Jerry East has told me many times. I can't think of his name right now. But these people end up in prison and arrested for doing these procedures, which help many people. I know, go figure. But things haven't changed much, and perhaps they'll be getting worse. We'll have her on for a segment. And then at 9:30, which would be the last hour and a half of the show, we'll say, Terry James is going to be here. He has a book called The Rapture Dialogues, and it seems we have the interweaving of aliens and rapture and whatnot, the Christian doctrine, the evangelical Christian doctrine of rapture. So we'll be talking to him about that, his book, and information about him. All these people, of course, are on the website, PeteToFire.com, where you will also find links to Inner Health Botanicals. Coconut milk powder is one of the subject matters. I was talking with my daughter, who has just kind of discovered the internet. She discovered eBay first. And now the internet, and she started poking around about things like aspartame and high fructose corn syrup and partially hydrogenated oils. And she called me and was like amazed at how terrible these things were. Went through her whole house, tore all these things out, threw them out, wouldn't even give them to anybody because she didn't want to give them to somebody to cause harm. And she asked me about a source for coconut milk. And I said, well, Inner Health Botanicals has an excellent coconut milk powder, which I use with the inner food, the green powder. She likes green, though, but still, I mentioned to her about the green thing. But the coconut milk I mix with the green, and my protein adds a nice coconut flavor to it, and it has all the awesomeness of coconut milk. If you go to innerhealthbotanicals.com, or better yet, just go to our website, click through, you can learn all about it and about the other items they have. NutriCafe, which is coffee that has been impregnated with herbs and whatnot. You have the inner food. You have tinctures. and various other things, filters, water filters, the new very popular Berkley water filters, all there. Click through, go on the website. You can't miss the banners. Click through innerhealthbotanicals.com or call 866-762-9238. Tell them you saw it on Feet to the Fire. And there you go. Inner Health Botanicals. Also, Earth Pulse Biomagnetic Supplementation. I guess I should have like a little sample of that. EarthPulseTechnologies.com, longtime sponsor. And the ball is starting to roll forward in being noticed of this technology, which is very simply pulsing magnetic waves at particular frequencies, very natural frequencies of the body and of the earth, and having this not only bring your body to that resonant level so you can sleep well or help heal, build muscle, as a lot of weightlifters are using, but also it actually energizes you in ways, and that's one of the things they're kind of looking into. People who have used this have not only noticed that their health functions have improved, but pain is dispersed and feelings of energy have come. So it's an excellent technology. Going back to the old days where we used to have pulses on this planet before of all the other noise and nonsense we have. And it's a way that you can enhance your health, enhance your healing, your sleep. Anything you can do it better with Earth Pulse technologies. I use it when I drive long distances, put it on the awake setting, the alert setting, and it will keep you alert but not stressed. It's actually pretty cool. Paul Becker over there at Earth Pulse, I've talked with him for many years on this now. It seems like we've been around for a long time. And it is catching on and going places. $50 off if you mention Feet to Fire, or F2F is the coupon code, either on the phone at 888-211-7888, or if you want to go to the website, click through to their website, and remember to put in F2F for immediate $50 off. Plus, if you... you can buy it in several payments, but if you buy it all at once, free shipping worldwide, FedEx. I mean, like 2 days, you make a phone call or click on the website in like 2 or 3 days, worldwide you have your Earth Pulse, immediate $50 off for saying F2F. So it's EarthPulseTechnologies.com, and there you go. Well, one of the things I'd like to mention is that as I'm becoming more conscious, more aware of energies, I'm seeing kind of a clearly, at least from my perspective, how things are coming about at this time. And it is so imperative, and I'm saying it to myself first and foremost, it is so imperative that when we get any type of negative energy, negative polarity, which would be aggravation, mad, hurt, fear, any of those, we'll call it negative emotions. It is very imperative that at this point in time that we don't live in that, because it will be able to grow greatly. And if we have the positive, it's imperative we live in it, because it will grow greatly. And I think you will see people flipping out, unfortunately, but you also see people flipping in, doing what I'm called, I think it was last week I mentioned, called a polarity shift to go from negative to positive. But it's very important to remember these things, because we have to consciously do these things in these times. The stakes are getting higher. It's like in the past you had more time, more buffer zone from the action to the possible reaction, the consequences. And it seemed that the consequences were a little bit more to the lesser side. Now with the energy level raising, our creative abilities are able to create faster and stronger. So if you have fear, you can create bigger fear really fast, bigger anger really fast. You're going to increase in road rage, for example. These type of things are out there. So we have to take care of it. It'd be like if you're walking down the street on a big sidewalk And you kind of walk along, not paying attention, kind of going along, because you see this big sidewalk, the one around you. But if you were walking on the edge of the sidewalk, and the edge of the sidewalk was a mile down, you'd be very careful about how you're walking, because you realize the consequences of walking toward that on that sidewalk have now raised. You have a mile drop-off on either side of the sidewalk. That is impressive. And as you look over the edge, it's like, holy cow. So when you walk, you're going to take more care. You still can walk. I mean, you can walk down. You can, but if you happen to go astray a little bit, you could fall off big time. So that is kind of the way I would describe it. As we go down the path, the consequences are higher. Instant karma, as I guess John Lennon wrote the song, and in fact, I probably will use that for a future bumper now I think about it. It is a time when we do things, we're going to get it back quickly, and that includes good things. So the idea of the good and bad polarity is time to change into all positive. And I have mentioned this before. People have said you need the polarity. You know, if you don't have the darkness, you wouldn't know the light and all that. And that may be true, but it's not necessary. It may be a consequence of our 3D environment at this point, but we're going to a 4D, or at least up to the next level, whatever you want to call it. And we're going to need to have this positive polarity. As I've read in the raw materials, there's also a negative 4D, and I guess you would call hell, and there's heaven. I mean, however you want to look at it, there's going to be a separation of it, and there won't be this intermingling. So we have to make sure. The good news is you don't have to be perfect to make that grade. And those who are in various religious practices, there's a lot of gearing in there. If you get past the religious dogma and the oppression, you will find that it's geared toward getting you to these positive attributes of love. So the good news is that you don't have to do much. In fact, you probably got enough good there. What you have to do is let go of the negative part of it, the negative polarity, to disperse the energy. Best way I can say it, and I'm going to see we're almost out of time, but the best way I would say it would be to embrace your, quote, dark side, unquote, to absorb it into your positiveness. And if you're in a meditative environment, like we do with this healing, send that energy up to God to be transmuted, absorbed into your positiveness and transmuted. It'd be like if you had 51% positive, after you absorbed your own negativity, it would become 1%. But if you communicate with your higher self, with God, when you absorb that negativity and accept it and stop feeding it by denying it and hiding it, but embrace it along with a connection, a meditative connection with God, there's an infinity of positive in God's polarity, so that when you embrace this stuff, it will melt away and up without having it get you. The time is coming. We're going to have to take both poles and put them together into a singularity. That is coming. So the better way to do it is to know it's coming and embrace it and do it wisely rather than have it be jammed together in shock. Well, that's a very short version of what I was going to say, but all the other announcements. We'll talk more about it. Feet to Fire, live this time every week. Spread the word. And we'll be right back with Dr. Rita Louise right after this.
Are you getting your greens? I'm James Othiancic, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. In today's busy world, greens often consist of the lettuce on a fast food hamburger. And even people who are health conscious and drink high quality pre or post workout protein shakes miss their greens all the same. Now you can have your greens and drink them too with Inner Food by Inner Health Botanicals. Inner Food promotes health and boosts energy with nature's finest superfoods. Inner Food is 70% organic and 100% natural without fillers and is a whole food product totally assimilated by the body. Inner Foods helps you fight an acidic body pH, which has been shown to lead to poor health and even cancer. Just mix a tablespoon in your protein shake or in your favorite fruit juice and you are good to go and go and go. Other greens on the shelf typically weigh 300 grams and sell for between $35 and $70. Inner Food is a full 400 grams, 33% more, for $39.95 plus shipping. Simply go to our website, feedtofire.com, and click on any Enter Health Botanical banner and you're ready to order. Enter Food, building health from the insides out. When you hear the word addiction, Perhaps you think of extremes such as alcoholics and heroin addicts, but actually millions of people are walking around with brain chemistry that causes feelings of sadness, emptiness, and emotional pain that have driven people to be addicted to tobacco, food, and even TV. Anything to momentarily divert the attention from those feelings, at whatever cost. And prescribed drugs are often many times more dangerous and addictive than the symptoms they aim to treat. AddictionSupplements.com have proven supplements that supply the brain with the nutrients it needs to naturally rebalance the biochemical system, which is the real cure for the real cause. AddictionSupplements.com has cutting-edge supplements designed by real science and real doctors, such as Dr. Charles Gant, MD. Interested in turning your life around? Point your browser to AddictionSupplements.com.
Make sure you stay tuned, because you're listening to Feet to the Fire.
$70 million Americans suffer from sleep deficit. I'm James Othayanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio, and I'd like to tell you about Earth Pulse Magnetic Field Supplementation. While using the Earth Pulse device, I found that I drifted off to sleep faster, I slept deeper, and I woke up more refreshed, and it does much, much more. Call them right now at 888-211-7888, or check out their website at www.earthpulse.net.
But wait, there's more. When you buy a new digitally programmed Earth Pulse version 4 magnetic supplementation device and use the special Feet to the Fire coupon code F2F, you'll receive an instant $50 savings. No rebates to get lost in the mail. Just $50 more in your pocket on your way to better health.
888-211-7888, or check out their website at earthpulse.net
and use the special Feet to the Fire coupon code F2F.
Earth Pulse. Deeper, more restful sleep, or your money back.
You are listening to Feet to the Fire.
Você está escutando ao Feet to the Fire.
Bienvenue. Vous écoutez Feet to the Fire.
You are listening to Feet to the Fire.
With the Black Knight.
All right, we're back, and we are live. This week is the week for Dr. Rita Louise and her Soul Healer Moment. And we chatted during the week, and she wanted to talk about the energy between the differences between 2006 and 2007. And then I had mentioned we're going to do like a little healing meditation after that, to try and change that energy, which I like change. I think energy is changing energy to good is a good thing. We want to welcome Dr. Rita Louise to the show.
Hi, James. How are you?
Oh, just ducky.
Ducky. Well, yeah. That sounds just about right.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that there is a nice method to shift energy and then walk in that energy. It sounds like it might be something that is not that big of a deal, though the result could be.
Well, I mean, and what we're going to do during the meditation piece is work on the next 6 months of 2007. But what we're going to talk about is, you know, we're arbitrarily picking that time spot. You can do it on a week basis. You can do the same thing on a month basis. You can do the same thing every day. You know, you can do some energy work on your next day, because like healing people, time is just something that's part of our three-dimensional universe. And so we're going to learn, work with the technique of clearing time. Maybe I'll have more time, but but you can actually find and feel where challenges are going to be in your life and do work on them so that maybe they're not as stressful, maybe they're not as big as they could have been. You know, maybe get rid of them altogether. So,
well, that sounds pretty good.
It'll be interesting. Mm-hmm.
I like that. Good is always good. Good is better.
Good is always good. Well, okay. Are you ready?
Yeah. So, what is the difference in energy between these two areas?
Well, I mean, there's a lot. Let me just kind of start, because I want to just kind of give the listeners a little bit of meat before we really go into the comparison.
Okay.
So, listeners, how has 2007 been for you so far? If you were to put one word to it, would you say challenging, For many of us, 2007 has been fraught with a new energy dynamic that has led people to feel depressed, confused, and basically out of sorts. If these words resonate with you and your life, congratulations, you're resonating with the energy of 2007. So as I said, before we talk more about what's been going on this year, let's take a quick trip down memory lane back to 2006. I'll bet, as you reflect on 2006, you will recall that it was no bed of roses either. 2006 seemed to be one thing after another, a year filled with external challenges. So when I say external challenges, let me give you an example. First, your car breaks down and you get it fixed. No sooner than that problem is resolved, your hot water heater breaks, ruining many of the priceless possessions in your home. Before you even get a chance to take a breath and recover from that, you get a phone call from the police informing you that your 14-year-old son has just been picked up for shoplifting. You know, and that's just like three items. And last year, it was just one thing after another. But regardless of what specific events were in your life, I'll bet it seemed that it was a nonstop barrage of problems. And when you finally thought you had one resolved and could take a deep sigh of relief, boom, another problem would rear its ugly head, leaving you reeling physically, emotionally, and spiritually. What many of us don't realize is that through all of the commotion, we learned about a new word, surrender. I'm sure you'll all agree that as 2006 progressed, you got to the point emotionally where you didn't respond or react to the crises in the same way any longer. So if, God forbid, your house blew up or you were hit by a bus, you would probably just shrug your shoulders, shake your head, and begin dealing with the problem at hand. By the end of 2006, I found that many people felt as if they had already had been through hell, and anything the universe could possibly throw at them wasn't going to rock their world any longer. They found themselves surrendering to the situations, realizing it didn't make sense to overreact to what was going on in their lives. Instead, they began to take the challenges, no matter how difficult, in stride, doing what needed to be done and moving on. So how am I doing so far? Does it sound about right to you?
Yeah, sounds about right.
So if this sounds like your life, congratulations. 2006 was a hard energy to move through, but you made it. And then, November hit and the energy shifted. Me and my ever-optimistic view of the world hoped that it would be for the best. Perhaps no news as opposed to only bad news. I figured that would be good, but the energy of the new shift, you know, what the energy of the new shift was going to be was a mystery to me at that time. You know, and there's that old saying about jumping from the frying pan into the fire. Well, hello, 2007. You know, you have to love the universe. Yes, the energy did shift. It moved from being external problems, issues, and frustrations in our lives and shifted right into the depths of our souls. This shift started out pretty slow, but by March it was in full force. Perhaps some of the words that reflect how you may have been feeling over the past few months would be tired, depressed, emotional, insecure, uncertain, confused, uninspired, drifting or afloat, scared, conflicted, or out of it. You may ask, okay, that's how I've been feeling, but what's this all about? Well, this is what I believe. In 2006, we were given the opportunity to let go or surrender to life. And it takes a lot of inner strength to let go of patterns of control and take life challenges in stride. And for many of us, this lesson was huge. Now, with this recent shift in energy, we were given the wonderful opportunity to go deep inside and find our biggest, ugliest, and deepest emotional secrets or dysfunctional patterns of belief and get to look at them up close and personal. It's as if the universe is putting them right in our face where we have no choice but to look at them, acknowledge them, and hopefully address and resolve them. Fun, don't you think? In the last few months, I've worked with more confused, hopeless, depressed people than ever before. I've seen untold individuals whose relationships are either challenged or ending. I have seen so much soul searching going on. It's amazing. So you may be wondering, why am I talking about all this depressing stuff? And I'm talking about it because I want you to know you're not alone. It's also important to remember that everyone else is experiencing the same thing. So please, please be nice to each other. We're all hurting and we're all healing. If you think about it from an outside point of view, we're being given the opportunity to change and heal deep old patterns of dysfunction that have been controlling our lives for many years. While many of us would probably prefer not to experience what you've been feeling, in hindsight, I'll bet you'll be glad for the immense healing and life-altering changes this period of time is offering you. Is it fun? No. Is it something we need? I'd have to say yes. And I'll bet for many of you, the thought of donating a kidney or giving birth would be a welcome alternative to the upheaval that's going on internally right now. With this said, I'm here to inform you that the energy is shifting once again. Maybe you've noticed it. Perhaps life feels like it's starting to move forward again, or that inner pain being experienced is somewhat lessened. This is the energy of the shift. I wish I could tell you what this new energy is all about, but I can't. And again, in my own optimistic way, I hope that we're not going to find a bigger fire to jump into, but instead move into the energy of harmony. I know many of us could really use a break and have some time to recuperate from the nonstop action life has been handling us. Regardless of where we move on to next, it is my wish that part of you can recognize the truth in my words. Please take a moment and express gratitude to God, the universe, Buddha, or Allah for giving you the opportunity to have your life shift, change, and grow.
I would say you pretty well summed it up. I think that what I would put in there for my own personal self is kind of a resignation and an acceptance. And when I did that, it sounds like it'd be like defeat. But what happened was I actually felt like moving forward or something. It was like, okay, good. Finally, you're fighting. Now you're fighting it. I'll just go along with it.
Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, that energy has really been part of what's been going on in the last couple of weeks, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was when I noticed that it was starting to shift. It's like, okay, you know, I can wrap my mind around this, you know, and start moving forward. And actually, I remember working with a client, like, right at the first of the month. I mean, it was 2 weeks ago. And what was interesting was, you know, I'm telling her my little gloom and doom thing because she was so in the middle of it, but I could see the shift in her. I could see where the energy was starting to shift in her, and I was like, thank you very much, because you're the very first person that I've looked at in months that actually had hope. And that was a good thing. Hope's a good thing.
I have a intellectual a head version of hope. When I don't feel any hope, I have a head version of hope where I go, I even don't feel it, I know it's there, and that has gotten me through in my own personal hopeless times. It's just, I know it's there, it's just part of the system, and I can't feel it, but it's there.
But would that be hope, or would that be trust?
Well, no, I guess it's trust. I guess you're right. I guess that's the mental version of having no hope, but, you know, knowing it mentally that there is something going on and it will be for the positive, and even though it doesn't feel like it. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, there's a old Bible verse that used to trouble me years ago, but I understand it now. It says, even though he may slay me, I will praise his name. And it sounds kind of crazy. Like, yeah, well, God's going to strike you down, and even though he'll strike me down. But if I could translate that into, like, modern speaking, even though it feels hopeless, I will trust in the hope of God, you know.
Well, I mean, my experience has been, and what I've seen in most people is that, you know, when we go through these kinds of challenges in our lives, you know, we come out on the other end, you know, a better person. And I was having a conversation earlier today with one of my students from my Institute of Applied Energetics, And we were talking about this piece, and his comment was, well, does this have anything to do with, like, the 2012 Mayan prophecy and, you know, whatever? You know, and from a scientific point of view, I have absolutely no idea. But if there is reality to that theory, and there is going to be a profound and dramatic shift either on the physically on the planet or on a consciousness level, because that's where a lot of the debate is, you know, is it going to be Armageddon or what? Then I can see where the energies that we're going through right now are really about cleansing and purging. I mean, in all of my personal life, I don't remember going through a period of time where I was forced to go back emotionally into childhood issues and address them and clear them. And that's been happening to a lot of people. I mean, just old stuff that you just as soon not look at. Like, you know, like I said in the piece, it's like I would rather go through childbirth than go through some of the emotional pain and upheaval of, you know, stuff that you just kind of bury in your subconscious.
Well, those old metaphors.
Just as soon leave it there.
Those old metaphors come to mind when you start talking about things like refining the gold in the crucible and, you know, getting rid of all the lower contaminants and you come out with this refined gold. I mean, the actual metaphor kind of makes sense because you're going through this refining process, which is, you know, has got heat and it's burning off the stuff. It's all those metaphors have we'll call it a pain to it. But there is a benefit for it, and as you start to see it clear up, and less is there left to burn, if you will, I would imagine that you'd be encouraged by the process,
mm-hmm.
or at least the end of the process is near, so to speak.
You know, but from a totally, and I'm going to say, spiritual place. I mean, if you read, you know, the Bible, or you read a lot of spiritual books, you know, especially like in Hinduism, you know, they talk about, you know, the illusion of the world, you know, and part of that illusion is that it's important, that material things are important, you know, and so when your car breaks down or these things happen, it's like after a while they lose their importance in your life. Did that make sense? You know, and I don't know, I just feel like there's a lot of cleansing going on. And one of my other comments about this piece is I feel that the people that are experiencing it the most dramatically are the people that are the most sensitive. And I find that people that listen to shows like yours are that group. You know, people that are more spiritually open and searching are that group that are just much more sensitive and react and mirror back the energy that's around them. So,
well, all right. Well, we'll
tell
you what.
I always tell people, congratulations.
All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and you won't be able to hear the music, but I'll play the little healing music in the background, and we will go through the shifting of the next 6 months of energy. I'm kind of excited about that.
Okay.
That's a hold on, and we'll be back live. Dr. Rita Louise is here, is going to practice her soul healer shiftingness. And leads into meditation to kind of shift the energy in the next 6 months. Interesting. We'll be back live to do so. Feet to the fire. Stay tuned.
Confuse the hell out of you with complex rate offers and rip you off for some more money?
Huh? I was calling to see how I could save money.
Get real. This is a corporation whose sole purpose is to make money on you, not save money for you.
Some phone companies bury their profits in complex savings plans. Others charge you flat rates for unlimited calls and then bank on you using less minutes, which ends up increasing your real price per minute cost. And if you use more minutes than they deem customary, you may be moved up to a higher rate. The solution is Invincible phone cards. From our website, you simply enter where you're calling from and where you're calling to. In seconds, there's a comprehensive, easy-to-read comparative chart empowering you to choose your real savings. You pay what you see, and you see what you save. In minutes after payments, you get your toll-free access and PIN numbers in your email. www.invphone.com. Invincible phone savings with Invincible phone cards. invphone.com.
Here's the objective. 218 representatives and 51 senators are needed to get a fair internet radio music royalty rate passed. That's the way Washington works, and that's why this radio station needs your help. Representatives and senators won't review the high music royalty rates that will cripple internet radio unless they hear your voice on their phone. Call your congressmen and senators. Tell them co-sponsor the Internet Radio Equality Act. Find their names at safenetradio.org.
Hi, this is James Othianchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. Just a word about advertising. Many radio stations carry internet streams, and many of those streams miss the attention of advertisers. They think, well, we're on the big radio. Why should we pay for those streams? Well, here at Feet to Fire, we do not forget about the internet. In fact, past sponsors, such as EarthPulse.net, report that many or most of their sales came from the internet streams. Call 888-863-2722 to find out how simple, how easy, how cheap, and how effective internet advertising is.
This reality is going on without me. On without me, I'm so happy. Clouds are lifting. It's easy to be free. To be free in the evening.
Hi, I'm Ann McWilliams, and you're listening to Feet to the Fire with the Black Knight.
Well, this reality is going on without me. I guess that's referring to 3D and as we drift into 4D, but for now we're here, and we're welcome back Dr. Rita to lead us in a energy shifting meditation.
Well, okay.
Oh, you still there?
Really, really simple thing to do. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you had to just start over again because there was a glitch in the income.
Oh. Hi, James. Welcome. I'm glad to be back.
Okay.
And this this exercise is actually really simple to do. I mean, one of the things that I love about energy work and is that it really is all about imagination and intention. And actually, in the chat room, they were talking about acupuncture doll. I mean, I was kind of having a lot of fun with it, that you hit with a little hammer, and I'm like, oh, a voodoo acupuncture doll. But really, the whole idea is you're banging on the acupuncture point and using the doll with the intention of I'm tapping this point to clear it.
All right,
we're going to do the same kind of thing.
Could you, before you started, just kind of back off on a mic or something? It's a little hot and it's distorting.
Okay. Well, I'm on my headset. I'm not on my other...
Okay.
My other little do-rot thing here. Is that better?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, because I got plenty of adjustment room. Okay, and so what I'd like everyone to do is just to take a nice deep breath and go ahead and just close your eyes and just allow your body to relax. And maybe down at the base of the spine where the first chakra is, you'll notice that there's a plug drain. And I'd like for you to just pull that plug out and allow any energy that's trapped in your body to just very easily go down that drain. And that the drain that goes out from the base of the spine goes all the way down to the center of the planet. And just allow anything that you're holding on to, any stress, any tension, any worry, concerns, to just be easily and effortlessly released down that bathtub drain, down to the center of the planet. Good. So we don't have a lot of time, so this is just going to be kind of like a moving along piece here. So forgive me for that. And so what I'd like everyone to do is just to bring their attention back up to the center of their head, to the third eye, the sixth chakra, and just bring your awareness back up there. And from your that place, I would like for you to imagine, you know, so just like you can see your car in your head or you can see your mother's face in your head, in that same way, in your imagination, I would like for you to imagine that there is a timeline in front of you. And it can look like a calendar, you know, so you can have like each month, like January, February, March, April, May, you know, next to each other in a square, or it can be long, or it can look like a ruler. I like the ruler myself, where each month just has a tick along this line. And what's interesting is that we're in June, so we're right about the center of that ruler. And just put the center of that ruler right in the center of your space. So half of the ruler is to the left, which would be to January, and half of the ruler is going to 2008. And just take a look at what that seems like. You know, are there bumps and lumps, and, you know, does some areas seem brighter or, I don't know, more intense than other areas? Or maybe you notice a little discomforting energy. So this is so simple. What I would like for you to do, you know, and let's everybody use... No, okay, what I would like for you to do is to take one of your hands and just smooth out your timeline. Just take it, and let's start in January. Let's do a little bit of healing on that first part of the year, because it really needs it. And just smooth out the energy all the way to 2008. And do that a few different times, so that where there might be a bump or a lump or a peak in energy or some static or heat that might be coming off of that timeline, that it's all nice and smooth. And like you did for your body, I would like for you to pretend that in the center of the timeline, so where we are today, and what we're going to do is make what's called a grounding cord. And from that place, I'd like for you to imagine that there's a line of energy that goes from your timeline all the way down to the center of the earth. And this is going to be like a drain to drain off any of that static that was on your timeline. And just let it go from your body, from your space, and from the world around you. And go ahead a couple more times and smooth out that timeline. And as you do it this time, you might notice that it's not as bumpy, or it doesn't feel as erratic as it did before. And make sure that you go and actually clear off the back. You know, so if you're working with a calendar, clear off the back of the calendar. If you're working with actually the line, clear off the back of the line, because it too has three dimensions. And just allow anything that might cause disruption or distraction to be released. And just take a nice deep breath and notice what that looks like now, or how that feels to you now. I mean, I know that when I just looked at mine, it was... not, you know, look more like a EKG than a timeline. And now it actually looks pretty smooth and feels peaceful to me. And when you're ready, you can go ahead and take a nice deep breath and open your eyes again.
What I've noticed is, it's before you said it, when I was pushing out the timeline, I like you thought of a ruler, and I was kind of pinching it on both sides and bringing it along, and mm-hmm. I felt heat in my hand as I went across it, like going on my hand and down my hand, and then you mentioned something about that. And mm-hmm. then after we were done, when I did it again, there wasn't any.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess,
and
that's
the energy. That is the energy.
Gosh, that sounds like it really does, you know, clear it out.
You know, and this is something that you can, you know, take your timeline and go into... So, like, this is Sunday evening, you can make a timeline for Monday, you know, 8 o'clock to midnight, you know what I mean? And make a little timeline for the next day, or you can make a timeline for the week. you know, and just work on clearing the energy, or for a month, or you can just, you know, do 6 months out. I mean, it really doesn't make a difference, even though the more finite you are, you know, so if you do every day, it's going to get more detailed and cleared out more, where if you're doing like a big period of time, it's going to be more cursory. Not that it's not going to work, but it's going to be a more cursory cleanse. But it is something that, you know, doing it on a weekly basis, you know, I think would be very beneficial for everyone.
That's a very good idea.
And you saw how long it took? Like, what, not even 5 minutes?
That's an excellent idea. That'd be a good thing to put in the routine, because I'm wanting to do now where I stop during my work week, halfway through my drive, and I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes, whatever works out. And that's just like, it's so natural to fit right in their routine. It's excellent. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we come to the end there, and I appreciate your not only your words of wisdom, but your actions to help us get through this, because Lord knows it's getting to be very dynamic out there. I guess that would be a nice way to say it.
That's a different word for challenging, yeah.
So we will be back after these breaks. Thanks again, Dr. Rita. Remember, Dr. Rita has her own show that's on Friday night, 7 Central on Interstreams Radio, and we will see you around.
Okie doke.
We'll be back live right after these messages.
This is James Othlianchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio, and the creator and host of Feet to the Fire. Feet to Fire is a weekly live syndicated radio show which explores the sciences, the spiritual, and the paranormal without paradigm bias. We're in search of truth with a capital T, on the edge without falling off. This live show is one of the few remaining quality alternative information talk shows that does not charge a penny to its listeners. Be it live or archived, the shows are totally free. Its support and future success solely rests on the modest advertising time sold per hour. We have sliced the hourly pie to contain 10 minutes of advertisements and 50 minutes of programming. That's an amazingly rich percentage of program content, unlike any other commercially supported show. But there is a method to our apparent madness. First, we do not bombard our listeners with an endless repetition of commercials unrelated to the themes of Feet to the Fire. You can learn how to grow your hair on your own head elsewhere. Second, the commercial breaks are in 3 to 4 minute chunks and are less likely to be subject to listener tune-out. Third, we embed these smaller size breaks into the archive versions of the show for a whole additional group of potential customers for your product. Many times the live listeners are the number of archive listeners. And this smaller cluster size makes it very hard to skip over commercials and not lose program content. Your commercials become timeless, embedded in our archives. Fourth, we encourage advertisers to target their ads, product, and services to the demographics of our listeners. A higher quality of commercial aimed at a higher quality of listener yields a higher percentage of sales. Fifth, we can create in-house, as it were, commercials from the ground up to fit smoothly within our show format. Lastly, but no less important, we have a very low overhead in our syndication and distribution shows. Thus, we can actually charge much less than you'd expect, with a 30-second spot package as low as $9. Help keep the information flowing on Feet to the Fire and share your goods or services with our quality listeners. Email us at f2f@ipsmediaworks.net or call 888-863-2722 during the week for more information. Feet to Fire is a synergistic team effort, and we need your help. Thanks for listening, and reach for the skies within.
Live on the air several different ways. You can call by phone, toll free in the United States and Canada at 888-863-2722. If you have internet access, point your browser to www.feettofire.com. That's www.feet2fire.com. And check the left of the screen for the How to Participate text and click. You can then choose direct chat with James or join the official group chat room. You can send email to James at f2f@ipsmediaworks.net. And now, live from Chicago, here is the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Arthur Jancic.
Well, it looks like we're going to be riding this highway, bumpy or not. I want to thank Dr. Rita for helping us, giving us tools to try and smooth out the road ahead, because the road ahead is coming. That's one thing I can say, is that may have avoided things in the past, but no more. So embrace it and go forward. But right now, at this time of the month, we have someone from Fate Magazine to talk about Fate Magazine. And this week we have a contributing writer, Richard Sennett, who is writing, wrote past articles, has upcoming articles, and also has dealt, has written books himself, kind of ghosty stuff. Finding his website is ghost-stalker.com. His book, The Ghosts of California Missions, is now available. And we'd like to welcome live from California, Richard Sennett. Welcome.
Well, glad to be here.
I saw the name Senate. How does it feel to have the name Senate during an election year?
Well, it's pretty weird. The original name is Irish, and it should have been spelled S-E-N-N-E-T-T. But when my ancestor patriotically joined the Union Army in the Civil War, he couldn't read or write, so the sergeant signed him up phonetically, S-E-N-A-T-E, and that's how the name got changed.
Boy, a lot of people have that had that happen when they immigrated here. They kind of left it up to the people who were letting him in. So.
Yeah, and he was wounded in the war and had to use that name to get his pension for his wounds. And that's how the name stuck. He eventually did learn to read and write. But we are Irish, and we have that rather funny name. People always say I should run for political office.
Yeah, it'd be funny if you were like a representative.
Yes.
Representative Richard Sennett. Well, are you a representative or a senator?
Yeah, it would be kind of fun. But no, I have never been elected to anything, nor do I aspire to such a position.
But you have been elected, if you will, to write for both past and present future to Fate magazine.
Yes, I enjoy writing. I started writing, I guess, when I was about 14, and it's kind of like a disease. And I penned, last count, about 58 books, of which I've had 14 published, which is kind of, I think, a pretty good feat. And I've had a number of articles printed in Fate magazine starting, in the 1980s. I had some pieces put in. And most recently, the Fate magazine has bought three new stories which are about to be published. And the story I think they're going to run with next is about Mark Twain and his ghost encountered in Carson City, Nevada.
Hmm.
In fact, if you go on Fate's website, they actually have one of my stories. I did a research piece on the ghost sightings at the Kremlin in Russia. And numerous people have seen ghosts there since the days of the Tsars. In fact, they believe in it so strongly over there that every time they elect a new president, they rip his office out. They take out the wall panelings, the floor, everything, out of fear that maybe there might be some emanation trapped in them. And so they don't want to have their new president influenced by some of their past leaders. And if you read any Russian history, you can understand that might be a sincere fear out of on their part. But I did all that over the computer, and I talked to some friends I knew in St. Petersburg, fellow ghost hunters and such, and I got some pretty interesting stuff.
Well, good. You got, how about some examples or something?
Oh, well, oddly enough, several ghosts haunt the place. In fact, there is the pretender czar, Dmitry. Now, what it was is, oddly enough, now this may sound really horrible, but one of their better czars was Ivan the Terrible. He's one of their better czars. Most of them didn't really give a fig about running the country. They just essentially were more out to loot it. But remarkably, Ivan the Terrible, even though he was a bloody monster, and created the first of what later became the KGB and other security organizations, his son died. And when after his son died, he died. And the country was falling apart, and this one Russian priest, Orthodox priest, came forward and said that he was the Tsar. He was the son of Ivan the Terrible. And it was a fraud. But he, out of patriotism, wanted to bring stability to the country. And for a couple of years, he ruled Russia. Then they found out his fraud, and he was killed. Okay, that's a fate. That's history. But every time Russia gets into a fix and is about to have a problem, they see the ghost of the pretender czar, Dmitry, walking on the walls of the Kremlin. Now, recently they saw him walking, and everyone wondered, what in the world is this all about? The very next day is where Gorbachev was seized, and the communists tried to reimpose communism on the Soviet Union, or what had been the Soviet Union. And, of course, they were stopped. But whenever there's a problem, like before the invasion of Russia by the Nazis and others, they'll see this apparition. It's like a warning. So to the Russians, every time you have a sighting of the pretender czar, it means you better watch out. Something bad's about to happen.
Well, it sounds like the actual pretender czar, actually, both in pretending to be a czar and in his afterlife, really has kind of caretaking type of attitude toward Russia.
Yeah, well, he loved Russia very much. There's no denying that. But he kind of even knew he'd eventually be caught and killed. But he did bring some stability to the country. But there are other sightings, too, even of the ghostly Ivan the Terrible himself, who was seen during the wedding of the last Tsar Nicholas and his wife, which, by the way, they took this to be a very bad omen. We have a ghost attending your wedding. It's not a cool thing. Well, anyway, of course, it turned out badly for them. They were, of course, assassinated after the Bolshevik Revolution. And there's so many different sightings in that place that it makes it an interesting study. A lot of the sightings are of Lenin, the leader who took over after the rise of communism and the fall of the Tsars. In fact, Lenin's office is the present office used by Vladimir Putin, the present leader of Russia. And they ripped out all of his stuff just to make sure Lenin's ghost was exorcised.
Well, you know, it makes you kind of wonder, after you start thinking and studying about how you can impress energy into inanimate objects, that it's not so wild.
Well, think about this. Think of our White House, where our present president resides. Think of all the personalities that have been in that building and what they've left behind. So maybe we ought to follow the Russians' lead and rip out all the furnishings to exorcise the evil spirits of our past.
Well, we should do something, because it looks like things are falling apart kind of bad here.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. I think that we're about to enter a whole new phase. So sometimes it kind of scares me when I see the way the country's going, but maybe that's just me getting older. I don't know.
Somebody wrote in the chat room that you take the Raz out of Rasputin and you have Putin left.
Well, Rasputin was an interesting fellow. In fact, he was, oddly enough, everyone talks about him, his degeneracy. He was certainly a degenerate. Rasputin was also a really smart guy. In a lot of ways, advised the Russian Tsarina. And, of course, he had this mystical ability. He even told Tsar Nicholas, don't get involved in World War I. He said, don't do it. It'll ruin everything. Of course, what does the Tsar do? He got into World War I, and, of course, that's what was the last straw that broke the back of the monarchy and ended up in a hideous revolt. And things even got worse under the communists. In fact, people were longing for the Tsars after a while with the likes of someone like Stalin in control.
So, having written about ghosts, and what are ghosts? I mean, is it too broad to generalize by one definition? Are there many different types of what we call ghosts? They're really unrelated?
Yes, very much. In fact, as I've gotten into this, I've been doing it well over 22 years now. And, almost 30 years now. Gosh. It's really a complex issue. In fact, the idea of spirits of the dead coming back to haunt the living, that only seems to apply to a very small percentage of sightings. Some of them might well be rips in the fabric of time. So if you go to a place and you see, like, if you go to Gettysburg and you see Robert E. Lee's army marching by, you may not be seeing a ghost army at all, but somebody looking through the fabric of time and seeing a real event that happened back in 1863. Many times, ghosts may be just that. You're at an old house, and you see a maid, phantom maid, walk by. You may not be seeing her restless ghost trapped on the earth plane, but, in fact, just looking back 100 years to when such a maid really walked down the halls. And conversely, people of the past may have seen us, and we might be their ghosts. There's other theories that ghosts might be linked to emotional impressions that have been placed on an environment, like a room or something. Many of these sightings are linked to trauma, like someone has murdered or they take their own lives or something like that. And these things seem to replay over and over again. Are they a ghost or are they some kind of videotape? We don't know.
I had an idea that You know how you would yell in a Sandy Canyon? You would say, hello, and you're, hello, and you hear this echo. I'm wondering that if you couldn't put out, especially since a lot of these ghost sightings are from murders or battlefields or people with houses burned down or I don't know, whatever, that there's not a psychic energy that yells out, if you will, and that is echoes about, and but it does have a limited consciousness, almost like a computer that has that, what do they call that, where they can answer questions. It's like an intelligence, but it's all programmed. There's a limited kind of intelligence that you can converse only in what it's able to deal with, but it's kind of an echo of that person rather than a real piece of them.
Well, I believe that there's a lot to what you say. As a matter of fact, the psychic researcher Nandor Fodor, who was a psychiatrist besides being a ghost hunter, he's speculated that there's a link between ghosts and multiple personality syndrome, because what is left behind is only a fragment of a person. Now, from all attempts I've ever heard about communicating with ghosts, they tend to be very poor conversationalists. They just talk about, like, one thing, how they were murdered. And they don't talk about anything else. They don't go off into poetry or anything like that. They're just monomaniacs, is a word I've heard applied to them. They're just stuck on one particular subject. So it could be that a small fragment of a person is what the ghost actually is. And the rest of them has gone on to, I guess, wherever we're all supposed to go when we're, our day comes.
Hmm. Now, are ghosts going to be bad or good? I mean, should I, you know, can we worry about a ghost sticking around and causing harm?
For the most part, ghosts reflect humanity. And there are very few evil people in the world. What mostly passes for evil is just selfishness. But there are a few evil people. Like there's Hitlers and there's Jeffrey Dahmers and stuff like that. But they only make up like 4 or 5% of the population. Fortunately, right, or we'd be in big trouble. Mm-hmm. And it's the same way with ghosts. They make a very tiny percent of the encounters. Most ghosts do good. In fact, a larger percentage seem to actually be around to help people. And I've talked to many people who claim their lives were actually saved by ghosts, which kind of puts a crink into the theory that ghosts are all evil, of Satan or the devil. Some fundamentalists believe that. Because if the devil's behind it, boy, he's blowing it, really. Saving people's lives, helping them out. In fact, many people who encounter a ghost for the first time become far more spiritual, start going back to church. And so if the devil's behind it, he's not doing it right. I tend to think that that's not the case. I think that the fear element we have is caused more by fiction than fact.
I think you said something that's quite profound, is not really related to ghosts, that would put you in a very good category, I think, in this world, is that you'd look at the world as profoundly not evil, you know, and that evil is that. I agree with that percentage, actually. It's funny you said that. And that really what we have is various forms of people who are serving self to some degrees. And the ones who are really evil are the ones who are going to serve self at the expense of others without reserve. Most people will maybe use somebody, but they're not going to go kill them. You know, they may try to steal something that they have or try to lie or manipulate, but they're not going to just go out and kill them, even if they could do it.
I think that that's correct. In a lot of ways, people are more oblivious to the harm they cause than they are actually reveling in any harm or destruction. Most people will say, you know, I want this, I deserve that, so I'll take this, as opposed to, I want to get that guy, so I'm going to deliberately, set a fire in his house and burn it up and maybe burn him out too. So I honestly think the true evil is rare. It exists, though, because, heck, I have seen it in the real world. We all have, if we've looked into history or just read the newspaper. But fortunately for us, it's a very rare thing. And if it wasn't, our world would be in a much sorrier state than it is.
I think at this point, also, people are going to be given a more obvious choice. They're going to be educated to that. And many people will be starting to slide toward a more good, if I can use that position. And there will be some who will slide to an evil. But are there, have you found out ghosts that perhaps have done something, we'll call it evil in life or bad in life, and are hanging out of regret or repentance of what they're doing? They're helping because they feel sorry that they did something wrong?
I think so. I think that accounts for many ghost sightings. It's a guilt element, such as sightings I've heard in the death camps of World War II, in Poland, Germany, and such like that. A lot of them are haunted. Again, you have the trauma, massive death, like you would find in a battlefield. But remarkably, there are very few sightings of the prisoners. Most of the sightings are of the guards, those who actually implemented the terrible Final Solution. Here in the California missions, where I saw my first ghost years ago, the phantoms that inhabit the missions aren't the native people who are subjugated, but they're haunted by padres, the priest who ran the missions. And I think many of these people are hanging around out of a sense of guilt. That might be part of it. They're trying to sponge away their sins in some fashion. Remarkably, many of the sightings of these phantom padres are encountered doing good works, helping people out as much as they can. So it could be that they're attempting to make up for past sins.
Or, you know, or perhaps some of them are just, they were so attached to that place that they don't want to leave it. And since they didn't have a real good spiritual growth in that aspect, they really don't want to leave. They're like, oh, no, this is where I was, and so on.
I think there might be a lot to that, too. The fact that it would apply to many of the ghostly sightings is that people have a stake. In other words, if a person, like, builds a house and raises a family and dies in that house after many years, that house is very comfortable to them. So where are they going to haunt? The hospital where they died? The cemetery where they're buried? No, they're going to haunt the house that they loved. But again, haunting ghosts are a small percentage of the actual sightings. We're not talking about even 50%. We're talking maybe 20%. There's also some ghosts, again, this is only about, I guess, 20% as well, of ghosts that appear just like the movies. And these are dead loved ones. And I am amazed by the number of people who've seen ghosts of their fathers, mothers, daughters, sons, lovers, what have you, over the years. It's just a very consistent thing to encounter someone you love, someone you cared about, as a ghost. And these are never frightening things. These are always comforting.
Well, our time is up, and I want to thank you for being here, Richard Sennett. We definitely have to arrange to have you back for a longer chat, because you're very interesting, very good observer, and not reader into the data, which is very important, at least from my perspective. So I appreciate you spending this time here, and I will be in touch, and we'll have you come back.
Oh, I look forward to it.
All right, that was Richard Sennett, writer in Fate magazine. FateMag.com is how you can find out about it and subscribe to it. And we'll be back live right after this.
Hi, this is James Athayanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. And when you think of voiceovers, you normally think of commercials, right? Well, let me ask you something. Does your company voicemail sound like this?
Hello. Welcome to TechCom High Speed Circuit Design. Press 1 for sales.
Now, do you want
press
that to be the
sales.
High-tech first impression to a caller? Now, how about this?
Hello, you've reached TechCom.
an innovator in high-speed circuit design. How may we route your call?
While InventiVoice does create, script, record, and produce fine, top-notch, broadcast-quality commercials, think out of the box. Let us impress your clients with creatively conceived and professionally produced audio for any occasion. In-house commercials for retail stores, for example. How about fast-paced promotional audio played in elevators, restrooms, and other short-term but often visited areas? Visit our website at www.InvisibleVoiceOver.com. Drop us an email or give us a call at 888-863-2722 and let us create memorability for you.
In less than 30 days, internet radio stations will have to pay music royalty rates that are not fair. Broadcast stations don't have to pay these high fees. Satellite radio doesn't pay them either. Only internet radio stations are being forced to pay these high royalty rates, which will put thousands of them out of business. Call your congressmen and senators. Tell them support the Internet Radio Equality Act. Find their phone numbers at SaveNetRadio.org. Keep independent internet radio alive.
When you hear the word addiction, perhaps you think of extremes such as alcoholics and heroin addicts. But actually, millions of people are walking around with brain chemistry that causes feelings of sadness, emptiness, and emotional pain that have driven people to be addicted to tobacco, food, and even TV. Anything to momentarily divert the attention from those feelings, at whatever cost. And prescribed drugs are often many times more dangerous and addictive than the symptoms they aim to treat. AddictionSupplements.com have proven supplements that supply the brain with the nutrients it needs to naturally rebalance the biochemical system, which is the real cure for the real cause. AddictionSupplements.com has cutting-edge supplements designed by real science and real doctors, such as Dr. Charles Gant, MD. Interested in turning your life around? Point your browser to AddictionSupplements.com.
Make sure you stay tuned, because you're listening to Feet to the Fire.
Are you getting your greens? I'm James Othianchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. In today's busy world, greens often consist of the lettuce on a fast food hamburger. And even people who are health conscious and drink high quality pre or post workout protein shakes miss their greens all the same. Now you can have your greens and drink them too with Inner Food by Inner Health Botanicals. Inner Food promotes health and boosts energy with nature's finest superfoods. Inner Food is 70% organic and 100% natural without fillers and is a whole food product totally assimilated by the body. Inner Foods helps you fight an acidic body pH, which has been shown to lead to poor health and even cancer. Just mix a tablespoon in your protein shake or in your favorite fruit juice and you are good to go and go and go. Other greens on the shelf typically weigh 300 grams and sell for between $35 and $70. Inner Food is a full 400 grams, 33% more, for $39.95 plus shipping. Simply go to our website, feedtofire.com. And click on any Enter Health Botanical banner and you're ready to order. Enter Food, building health from the insides out.
You are listening to Feet to the Fire.
Você está escutando ao Feet to the Fire.
Bienvenue. Vous écoutez Feet to the Fire.
You are listening to Feet to the Fire.
With the Black Knight.
All right, we are back, and it is that time of the month we talk to James McKinney, who lets us kind of peek into what he's working and thinking on in his James McKinney Science. We have links to the website on our website, and I'd like to welcome back for his monthly visit, James McKinney. Welcome, James.
James, thank you, and always great to be back and try and fill in the blanks of what is going on in the so-called real world out there.
Yeah, that was a big awakening for me. I always thought that of all things science was that refuge for truth, but then I realized several years ago, it took a while, that it's really political like everything else, and you got to kind of hunt through that as well as philosophy and politics and religion and everything else.
It's amazing, and when I went to college, of course, I had the bright-eyed, bushy-tailed view of the world and got some pretty major shocks as I actually started working and part of my ability to see into this was when I was independent. And, of course, when I was at Cornell University and when I had my own company in the 80s looking for funding and working around the aerospace corporations and the military-industrial complex, watching the funding flow, who produces the money, who owns science, who, you know, drives science, the tier one science that people never see, the scientists who are all of a sudden plucked out of industry or universities and all of a sudden placed in these secure locations with security clearance and you never hear from them again. They don't publish their results. So it's, yeah, a science world is amazingly complex. And it certainly isn't what you read about in the newspaper, see on TV, or even read about in, say, the popular magazines like Astronomy or Sky and Telescope, those magazines. It's certainly very different.
Well, I do appreciate your time, spending your time with us. So what is kind of happening in your work now?
Well, amazingly enough, we were just talking offline about my weather book, and in there I reiterate the, actually this started with Velikovsky, where he discovered the ancients talking about Mars being a blue planet, just like Earth with oceans, etc. And in fact, I go into detail on how a passing comet could in fact draw off the atmosphere and the oceans and leave us with what we see as the red planet. This past week, oddly enough, NASA came out with a map that looks exactly like what I talked about in my weather book with the oceans of Mars in the lowlands, but of course they give it a date of 4 billion years ago. That's with a B, as in boy, billion years ago. And obviously, the laughing point, of course, is where do they come up with these numbers? We're sitting on Earth. They send a satellite around, take some pictures, and they go, oh, it's 4 billion years old when it had oceans. You know, my eyes pop open and go, where do they come up with this stuff? Who on Earth gives them these numbers? And, of course, I've been in the meetings around these guys that the when they start pulling this, you know, making things up, so to speak. But they showed a map of Mars with the oceans in place. And then, of course, came up with some very bizarre, oh, I call it rambling science, where they talk about the planet Mars shimmying and shaking all by itself, moving these oceans around as if planets do that by themselves. And then, of course, claiming that these oceans magically left the planet billions of years ago and left what we see today. And it's so funny because they show the erosion patterns, and which are very current. Obviously, Mars has tremendous winds and dust storms, and any features, surface features, would have been eroded long ago if this were, in fact, 4.5 billion years ago or 4 billion years ago. But you see these amazingly pristine erosion features all over the planet. And what's comical, too, is when the first Mars orbiters first started taking pictures of Mars, I have all the original NASA footage from those, like I do with a lot of things. I just archive things. And you see in those the pristine riverbed, the erosion on Olympus Mons, the great volcano. And you don't see any of that. It's all photoshopped out on the modern pictures, which has much higher resolution cameras, of course. So a lot of Photoshop work going on at NASA these days. But oddly enough, they'll show you one or two clips of a little bit of erosion to tell you that, in fact, the Mars has had some water activity. But I thought it was comical that this week, possibly under pressure to actually admit that Mars had oceans. Now, their explanation for where this water went, they said, well, one day it just sank into the ground. Now, let me get this straight. They don't have an explanation for where the atmosphere went that has to be there to hold the ocean in place. They don't even talk about that. All of a sudden, these oceans that were there for eons magically all of a sudden sank into the ocean or into the ground. And this happened billions of years ago. So nothing they're saying makes any sense other than the fact that they finally had to admit that Mars had vast oceans.
I've had on my show Sir Charles Schultz, who has cataloged very detailed and meticulously these we'll call them fossils, of ocean, early ocean life on there. It looked pretty convincing anyway to me. And you also have the idea that having an atmosphere that's about 99% or 95% or something less dense than Earth, that it makes sense that there was a bigger atmosphere there, and oceans have been proven now, and they're admitting it. But there seems to be this need to, since they can't deny that there's water or oceans, they have to have it so far in the past, so that it can't have any relationship to life on Earth, and two, there somehow can't be these catastrophes that come by and rip off oceans and what have you. They avoid those two issues when they make their postulates.
Absolutely, and that's the key right there, is that they can't explain the anomalies. When you look at Mars, if you took all of their pictures, the high-resolution ones, you would see erosion all over the place. And as I said, that would be destroyed very quickly based on the winds and the dust storms that are going on Mars continually. 100-mile-an-hour winds with tremendous dust storms would erode those features, you know, in a short period of time. Certainly, over 4 billion years, there wouldn't be anything left. So what are they talking about? It's ridiculous. But like you say, they avoid the real truth, which is that this was very recent. In fact, probably just thousands of years ago.
It's kind of also amazing to me that they talk about these 100-mile-an-hour wind storms that go planetary, and yet there's such a small atmosphere. I start to wonder if there may be some type of atmosphere on the moon as well, because it's, but though thin, I'm wondering, whole atmosphere type deal they're saying, I'm wondering about it.
But my latest DVD lecture, which is just coming out right now, I posted a picture, and it's a picture of our moon. It was taken in 1967 by one of the lunar orbiters, the fourth lunar orbiter. So this is back in the very early space program. And on this photo of the, is it the Gimbaldi crater? I forget the exact name. But at any rate, there are 26 rivers on this one picture in their flows. They cut through craters. Sometimes the craters are superimposed on the riverbeds. You can see wash areas where there are islands, you know, like at a delta of a river, you'll have all these islands out there as the wash comes down into the lower basin. You can see those. You see all of these erosion features on our moon. And it was rather comical. I pulled that picture when it came out. It was actually in a physical, it's in a Physic Today magazine that I get. And I posted it on my webpage and told people to go to this NASA website and look at it. Well, oddly enough, the next day the picture disappeared off the NASA website. But, of course, I kept it, and I put it on my latest DVD because I want people to see that our moon, in fact, has tremendous erosion, probably attributable to water. That's the only really fluid that is abundant enough to create that level of flows. It's not oil. It's not, you know, some other liquid. It's not the kind of carving that lava flows create. So you're down to water. And so our moon in this one frame, I think it's about a, maybe I forget how big it is, maybe a 20-kilometer cross section of the moon, has tremendous water erosion all over it. 26 rivers in this one patch. So did our moon have an atmosphere, or what exactly happened there to create that, those erosion patterns?
I get you kind of wondering that with the water in Mars and having it blown off by something, kind of gets me thinking about the old raining for 40 days and 40 nights story in Genesis, that perhaps the Earth passed through this river in space that got blown off of Mars.
But here's what happened, and actually this is on the historical records. This is what the ancients tell us, that the great comet first came by Mars, and they actually saw the electrical connection, and they saw the oceans leave Mars and Mars turn into the red planet we see today. That same comet eventually came by Earth on two occasions, and the trick was that the surface gravity of the comet nucleus was bigger than that of Mars, so it extracted from Mars, yet it was smaller than Earth. So what happened to Earth is we pulled off of the comet. In other words, we had a tremendous pollution event, which included the Great Flood, the raining of brimstone and naphtha, which all of the ancient texts, the Bible, they all talk about this, where we just had a tremendous pollution event that caused us to go into an ice age also. So because we lost the solar heat input during that time for 40 days and 40 nights. So all of this is attributable to these cosmic events. And, of course, every place from there are so many, diversions that have been put in place. Most of the ancient texts have been removed or changed to match our modern view of the world. And this is what I find amazing. People go to church and they talk about these events and they almost talk as if they were mythological events that really didn't happen. You know, the raining of brimstone and fire, which was the meteor stream, and the naphtha, which is the hydrocarbons coming in and burning as they come in the 40 days and 40 nights of rain. Now scientists are trying to convince you that the Great Flood was a breach of some dike over by the Mediterranean Ocean, and that's what people were calling 40 days and 40 nights of rain. Well, it's ridiculous. At every turn, scientists are attempting to cover the real story.
Well, I appreciate you being here to kind of give us this insight, and it spurs us on to read on your books and others and so forth. But we've come to that time that I want to make sure I give you an opportunity to let people know how they can get a hold of this weather book and your DVDs.
Well, the webpage is jmccsci.com. That's just seven letters. That's the abbreviated form. And, of course, it's linked from your page. And also, for people who want to use mail order, the weather book is $25, and that includes shipping to the 50 states. And the address is JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Minnesota, 55392. So once again, it's $25, and that's for the weather book. And then we send out also a sheet that lists all of the other items. My webpage, all of this is going a tremendous change here as we speak. So a lot of things being upgraded and changed, and my webpage will be menu-driven pretty soon, where you look at the cover of the webpage, and it will have all of the items that I'm working on so that people will have a much better feel for all of the areas of research I'm involved in.
All right, well, excellent, and I look forward to next month, and also we're going to be working on getting a show together, a longer part to go through this, and I appreciate your work and spending time with us.
Well, not a problem, James, and I'm always glad to step in for a little bit each month here, and I really get the feedback also when I'm on your show. I get the feedback. I know a lot of people are listening out there, so I really appreciate that.
Well, it helps us all. So we'll see you next month, and take care.
Thank you.
Hello, how can I confuse the hell out of you with complex rate offers and rip you off for some more money?
Huh? I was calling to see how I could save money.
Get real. This is a corporation whose sole purpose is to make money on you, not save money for you.
Some phone companies bury their profits in complex savings plans. Others charge you flat rates for unlimited calls and then bank on you using less minutes, which ends up increasing your real price per minute cost. And if you use more minutes than they deem customary, you may be moved up to a higher rate.
The solution is Invincible phone cards. From our website, you simply enter where you're calling from and where you're calling to. In seconds, there's a comprehensive, easy-to-read comparative chart empowering you to choose your real savings. You pay what you see, and you see what you save. In minutes after payments, you get your toll-free access and PIN numbers in your email. www.invphone.com. Invincible phone savings with Invincible phone cards. invphone.com.
Are you getting your greens? I'm James Othianchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. Now you can have your greens and drink them too with Innerfood by Inner Health Botanicals. Innerfood is 70% organic and 100% natural without fillers and is a whole food product totally assimilated by the body. Innerfood is spirulina, chlorella, dulse, kelp, spinach, alfalfa, barley, wheatgrass, rosehip, beetroot, and much more in real amounts, not just a sprinkle to fill out an inflated but impotent list of ingredients. Just mix a tablespoon in your protein shake or in your favorite fruit juice and you are good to go and go and go. Other greens on the shelf typically weigh 300 grams and sell for between $35 and $70. Innerfood is a full 400 grams, 33% more, for $39.95 plus shipping. Simply go to our website, feedtofire.com, and click on any InnerHealth Botanical banner, and you're ready to order. Or call 866-762-9238 and be sure to mention you heard them on Feet to the Fire. Innerfood, building health from the insides out.
70 million Americans suffer from sleep deficit. I'm James Othianchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio, and I'd like to tell you about Earth Pulse Magnetic Field Supplementation. While using the Earth Pulse device, I found that I drifted off to sleep faster, I slept deeper, and I woke up more refreshed, and it does much, much more. Call them right now at 888-211-7888 or check out their website at www.earthpulse.net.
But wait, there's more. When you buy a new digitally programmed Earth Pulse version 4 magnetic supplementation device and use the special Feet to the Fire coupon code F2F, you'll receive an instant $50 savings. No rebates to get lost in the mail. Just $50 more in your pocket on your way to better health.
888-211-7888 or check out their website at earthpulse.net
and use the special Feet to the Fire coupon code F2F.
Earth Pulse. Deeper, more restful sleep, or your money back. This week in Free Energy.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
This week in Free Energy, June 17th, 2007, exploring and reporting on energy systems that tap into the inexhaustible, ubiquitous, and clean sources of energy generation, such as solar, wind, tide, and geothermal, but also exploring those non-conventional avenues, such as zero-point energy, radiant energy, cold fusion, and magnet motors. With us today live for our weekly report on Feet to the Fire is Sterling Allen. And Sterling, what do you have for us this week in Free Energy?
Hi, James. We've got an interesting lead story today. It's the magnetronic motor by Millennial Motors. This is a new story out. As of yesterday, they only had 250 hits on their website. They just barely published this, and they're still withholding some information, but I was able to interview this gentleman on the phone, Dennis, about the technology and what he has, and it's very fascinating, in my opinion, if he's got what he says he's got, and I'll be able to check that out because he's not far from where I live. I'll be able to just drive up and check it out here in about a week or two when they've finished their most recent prototype. But what this will do is, first of all, they're going to start by retrofitting vehicles to replace your engine with their little motor to turn it into an electric vehicle. And then down the road, when they've got a few thousand of these out in the marketplace, they're going to do a little upgrade, quote unquote, that will enable you to get far better performance. And even now, without the upgrade, quote unquote, the system will have a two-year return on investment if you're getting around, driving around 250 or 200 miles per day, 25 miles per gallon, and gas at $2.50 per gallon. which is a benchmark that I think would meet most situations. So very fascinating. Keep an eye on that one. Thermoelectric conversion via low-level heat using a low-cost hydraulic engine is another story. We had this last week. Deluge is the name of the company, D-E-L-U-G-E. They developed a thermal hydraulic engine. It's now ready for commercialization. Their engine requires no combustion, operates virtually silently, and generates no emissions. Utilizing low-level heat energy, 180 degrees Fahrenheit, is suitable for solar, geothermal, or waste heat applications. Another one, another top 100 energy technologies edition for this last week. We had a story this last week about the rotaverter. We've not talked about this one before, but it's been around for a while. I've been keeping my eye on it, not quite sure what to think about this one. It's an overunity scenario where you put in X amount of electricity and you get out more. In this case, 300 watts in, generating 1,200 watts out. Again, this is harnessing energy from somewhere using some electromagnetic principle not yet understood by physics. SkyBuilt's another one of our top 100 energy technologies. They've gotten a patent this last week for their mobile power station. Will the plug-and-play functionality and versatility that revolutionized the computer industry via the PC also revolutionize the deployment of renewable energy on a wide scale? SkyBuilt may be there to prove it. Will they be the Dell of solar energy and other renewable energies? Solar air conditioning system is another story we had this last week. The Colorado Coolers, low-energy evaporative air conditioning, delivers up to 5 tons of cooling while drawing only 1,200 watts of power. Another cooling system, this is a hydrothermal system, deep lake water cooling. This is up in Toronto where they have these pipes that go deep into the Lake Ontario, and they use it for power in their air conditioning systems. They have plans to connect up to 52 more buildings. The project is expected to reduce Toronto's energy needs by 61 megawatts. Kicking the oil habit with sugar is another story we had. Scientists have discovered a way to convert glucose into hydroxymethyl fluorofluorol. There's a mouthful. The chemical is broken down into components used to manufacture products now made from oil. So we wouldn't have to use oil for those things anymore. Using sugar instead, not bad. Gas hydrates on the ocean floors. Science Channel on June 15 noted that there's enough energy in gas hydrates in the Gulf of Mexico to power all U.S. energy needs for 3,000 years. Plastics. Potatoes could be used for bioplastics. A report from the University of Maine's Margaret Chase Smith Policy Center says the state's potato industry could benefit by becoming a producer of bioplastics. Now, speaking of all these biofuel alternatives, we have to ask the question, the downside. We posted a page this week looking at some of the downsides of using some of these foods or what used to be food for fuel. It competes with our food supply, drives up food prices. The fuel is sometimes hard on engines, and the crop's growth contributes to soil depletion, among other woes. So need to weigh those downsides along with the alternative upsides. Wood chips is a good biofuel alternative because, of course, wood chips are not going to be used for anything else. We're not going to be eating them. Another one is designer bugs that hold the key to endless fuel. The U.S. scientist who cracked the human genome is poised to create the world's first man-made species by a synthetic microbe that could lead to endless supply of hydrogen and biofuel.
It also could leave an endless supply of, like, plagues and poxes on the world, too. I get a little wiggly when you talk about stuff like that.
Yeah, well, you know, the scientists sometimes get a little bit too smart for themselves. They think they've got all the answers for the world's problems, and turns out that there's this downside that is a major downside, and that can really come back to bite us. Finally, along the lines of ethanol, a company called Brailsford Engineering Incorporated is offering a new and efficient dilute acid chemical process for the conversion of waste cellulose into fermentable sugars and subsequently into bioethanol. The capital costs are about 50% of those comparable dilute concentrated acid or enzymatic cellulose or hydrolysis processing. Small farm-scale fuel ethanol plants can now be economically profitable.
It seems like the ones I like the best from what you're talking about is the ones that kind of pull this electricity out of the air. That kind of really intrigues me. And then since we have so much electricity in the air coming from the sun and whatnot, that seems to me to be the big hope.
Yeah, I don't know if it, pulling it out of the air is a proper way to describe that, but it's coming out of the ether around us. Somehow the principles of electromagnetism that we don't fully understand, you get some electrical current going, and you have a lot more than just what you thought you had. This design I was looking at, talking about today, the magnetronic motor, and I was interviewing this guy actually yesterday. Fascinating as he was describing the various prototypes. He's had 20 prototypes over the last 30 years they've been working on this off and on. Now they're just about ready to go commercial, so they could be the first to hit the market. We'll see. They're talking about next 2 weeks from now, so stay tuned.
All right, thanks, Sterling. We'll see you next week.
This Week in Free Energy is brought to you by the PES Network. On the web at pureenergysystems.com. Join them online for daily updates at freeenergynews.com.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works. On the ONSIC Radio Network of Stations.